The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158, Gil Alexander in San Francisco. However, you're taking us in any one of those methods, we appreciate it. Kelly Bidlin in studio, and alongside Kelly Bidlin, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Billy, good morning to you. How you doing, man?
This is going to be an aggravated gambler segment or episode, so just to let you know.
Ooh. Oh, good. Oh, God. Yeah. I like it. Coming in hot.
First of all, I will tell you, when are you coming back? You've been on vacation like 2 months.
Does this look like vacation to you, Bill? Oh. Does this look like vacation to you?
Oh.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks are vacation, Bill, okay?
Oh. That's right.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, so you're not on the next 2 weeks?
He's out.
That's correct.
Okay,
that is
good.
Correct.
Well, I'm not on. Yeah. I'm off then.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go.
Wow, so you're going to have another 2 weeks? How do I apply for a position?
I'm missing Bet Bash, though. I'm a little bummed about that.
Oh,
so I won't be there for that.
Well, I'm not going either. I'll be here doing my show at Wednesdays. We started up my podcast yesterday here. So shameless plug for myself here. You guys want to check it out. You go to Bill Krakenberger Wager Talk on YouTube, and you'll see it on there. That's where the podcast is. Yesterday was our first one from the sports book here. We're going to have Derek Stevens on in 2 weeks talking about the contest. But we moved it from Westgate to here. Caesar is taking over Westgate, of course. Not a fan of mine. I'm definitely not a fan of them. But so now we're at the Circa, and this is the Mecca. We really felt that we had a great show yesterday. I brought some good guests on. Vegas Horse Pools, my friend Scott, who's a proxy. Last year I was out of town, and I had 20 picks to put in. So I called him up. I said, oh, boy, this is going to be – I've never asked him to do this for me. I said, this is going to be a pain to do. And he did it so flawlessly that I said, listen, next year I'm going to promote your proxy. Because he's not one of the big proxies, but – He runs Bet Bash too. He does a lot of things at Bet Bash. So I had Scott on yesterday. He's a fantastic proxy, Vegas Horse Pools. And I had the two guys from the show, The Quest for 18.7 Million. They were sitting in the book, and I decided that they put me on their show all the time. I said, come on the show with me. So I interviewed them and talked about that show that they have, that which episode one was on YouTube last night. And I found out it's on Nesson and mm-hmm. MSG. I didn't even know it was on those other networks. So that was an interesting thing. It's a pump-up thing. It's a when you see that and you're in the middle of America, you're home, even if you're back in New York, New Jersey, you get pumped up to see these kind of contests and pools. And I want to tell you, I know there's another big site. I forget the name of it. They're online doing a competitive kind of a it's a survivor pool.
Yeah, they do a survivor pool.
They are,
Splash,
right?
Splash, yep.
A Splash, that's mm-hmm. it. I couldn't think of the name.
Splash Board.
So, I want to tell you, though, people use – they're ahead of pace here already from last year. They're ahead of pace to fill these contests here. And people use this as a vacation. They say, listen, I'm coming to Vegas. I'm going to tell they get away from their wife and kids. I got to go to Vegas. I got to do that contest. You got to do it in person, hon. You know, I'm just – this is – this is a big deal. Now we're talking, we're literally what? Are we 6 weeks away from the NFL season? Something like that?
Like
6 weeks away from the regular NFL season, only a few weeks away from preseason. And people use this for an excuse the next 6 weeks to come in town for a couple days with their buddies, maybe join these contests, and they look for a proxy. So I brought him on. And this, like right here behind me, they sit right here. I didn't even realize this. Yesterday, when I broadcast yesterday, I didn't realize there's like four of them.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was that many services.
It's incredible.
Bill, we Kelly and I talk about this from time to time. It's amazing that in this day of technological innovation, that the actual, I'm not trying to in any way, throw shade on everybody who does proxy services, because they run great businesses. They're really good at what they do. But it is amazing in the never-ending world of progress that that job still exists.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
They can't just do it online. If you're out of state, I guess there's gaming laws. Maybe it even, it might even violate the 61 Wire Act, which was ridiculous. It's outlawed. I mean, not that it's outlawed. It's outdated. I don't know, but why can't someone in Arizona click on Circa and put your picks in from there? I don't know the reason. Do you either one of you guys?
It's silly. I mean, it's just Nevada's geo-fenced itself off from the rest of the world progressing forward with sports betting, right?
Yeah,
it's
that, we're good. Perfect. Kelly, that's perfect. You're referring to like Kalshi and Polymer.
DraftKings.
DraftKings. Well, yeah.
They've only had an office here for how many years now, and it's not actually being used in Nevada.
They actually have the risk department here.
Right.
Where they're approving bets throughout the country, literally 15 minutes from the studio, but yet you can't bet here.
Can't bet here.
Yeah. You're all just our guest.
You're all just our guest here. I don't mean to interrupt and preempt your aggravated gambler segment, but since you bring up DraftKings, can I bring this up?
This is incredible.
Adam Burke, who is part of the glue that holds this whole operation together at VSiN, he is our managing editor at VSiN.com. He writes about all kinds of sports, every sport under the sun. Great dude. He sent Kelly and I this. He sent Kelly and me this unbelievable thing that happened. So, how can I set this up? So, a guy. Oh, now I can't get out of this. Here we go. So, yesterday, somebody bet over 8.5 on the Padres Braves game in DK's prediction market, DraftKings prediction market. He simply bet over 8.5. That was the total in the Padres Braves game. The game ended 7-6, right? 7 + 6. I'll do the math for everybody. That's 13. 13, I do believe, is greater than 8.5, right? That is over 8.5. Can you check my math for me, Kelly?
Yep, you're good.
Okay.
You've got it.
So his bet, his over 8.5 that ended up with 13 runs, was graded a loser. Here's what the DraftKings prediction market chat told him. Thank you for reaching out to DraftKings support. After reviewing your trade, we have confirmed that it was settled correctly. The first of all, it says the August. I didn't even catch this the first time, Kelly. The August 22nd.
Oh, God, I didn't catch this the first August, time either.
The August 22nd, 2026 game between the Padres and Braves ended with a final score of 7-6 Braves, resulting in a total of 13 runs scored in the game. Since your trade was placed at over 8.5, the result needed to be at least 9 runs for your trade to be settled as a win. However, this is ridiculous. However, since 13 runs were scored, your selection should have been over 12.5 runs. As the settlement is accurate based on the official game results, no changes will be made to the wager grading. If you have any other questions or concerns, please feel free to reach back. And then he followed up one more time. And then what do you say? We understand your concern. However, for selections with a decimal line, such as 8.5, the required outcome is determined by the selected line, not the total amount scored beyond that number. Blah, 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 blah. None of this makes any sense. They repeat, for a selection of 13 runs, the correct line to select would have been over 12.5. We hope this clarifies how these selections are settled. Best regards.
I swear to God, support. You just explained it to me, and I just read the thing. I don't get it. I still don't understand.
It's incredible.
It.
So basically, he apparently he had to Gil get exactly 10. He
Nine?
Was really just betting an exact 10.
Well, apparently, what it sounds like is this: not a human being responding is what it sounds like. If it is a human being, it's even worse than I thought, right? But apparently, it's not a human being
letter?
Who's even gotten the date of the game wrong, and they don't have this worked out at all. Is what the upshot.
Okay, so it's a winner. They're just going to read. It'll be corrected after a human gets involved. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm hoping that that's the result. But this poor guy is having to go back twice with whatever automated system, and they are like adamantly telling him, no, you know, to get the 13 correct, you would have had to bet over 12.5, over 8.5, not good enough.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
And here's the problem too. You go to these gaming boards that are state, you know, gaming boards that are supposedly their state employees. It's so hard to get a hold of someone. Not here in Nevada. Nevada's excellent. Yeah. Every time I call Nevada Gaming, which is not too many times. I'll get they'll put them, whoever the gaming agents are, they're roaming the city. They get them right on the phone. I've never not spoke to a gaming agent in under a minute. Now, I've spoke to some gaming agents that obviously have an aunt or uncle or someone that got them the job. Yes. But like they just don't know any too much. However, I spoke to a male gaming agent about 3 or 4 months ago that was so good. He was perfect. So there is gaming agents here. However, let's go to a state like New Jersey. If you call New Jersey gaming, you're never going to get anyone on the phone that day. And I would be willing to bet my money you're never going to get anyone on the phone in 30 days. No one's ever going to call you back. It's a voicemail. You leave a message on the voicemail. It gets to them, and eventually they'll get back to you, possibly. Now, I know one that was at the Ocean Casino. You guys remember this. I did this with you at South Point. This lady came in with an autistic son, and he didn't have an ID. She should have had an ID. He's over 21. He's autistic, and he wanted to press the button so bad on the machine. He couldn't even do it. I was with them because my wife's friend, it's her child, and he was 23, and I'm telling you, he had to do it with his palms, you know, to press the button. He was so happy to press the button. They came over and asked for an ID, and they did not, he didn't have one, and they took the $130 or $160 voucher. Do you guys remember this from like 5 years ago?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They took the voucher. And we tried to go to gaming. Until this day, gaming has never responded about that $160 that was confiscated by the Ocean Casino. Now, I'm not even saying they did it wrong. So
hold that thought.
Oh, we'll get back.
Hold that thought.
We're on break.
We'll continue this on the other side.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not sure if you caught this last night, but the Circa Survivor documentary is back again, thanks to James Ferris, Stephen Shalansky for being on the show yesterday, the creators of it. It's bigger than ever, the documentary, that is, with $18.7 million on the line and a new Grandissimo format raising the stakes. The contest itself bigger than ever last year and still to come, bigger even this year. If you missed episode one that chronicles last year's contests, catch it now on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. Episode 2 will air this coming Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. Whether you play Circus Survivor or just love the drama, you won't want to miss it every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, or catch up anytime on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. Kelly, did you get a chance to see episode 1 last night?
I sure did. Watched the whole thing. Pumped for the season. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great way to get you excited to play these contests, that's for sure. Seeing all the characters, some new, some old. Great to see them all. Everybody kind of getting set up and talking their way, how they handle Survivor, what they're going to be doing this upcoming season or last season. Good stuff, man. It was good stuff. I made it in the first episode. I didn't get a speaking role, but I did make it in there. Little Easter egg for the first
one.
Can you spot Kelly Bidlin?
Can you spot Kelly Bidlin?
It's like Where's Waldo, but tougher.
Interesting. Now I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch and see. Did you do a little nodding, your thing?
No. I didn't even make that much camera time, Gil. I'm pretty sure it was some night we were eating at Barry's, and I remember going there with James and Matt because they had to. It's when they're shooting stuff at Barry's, and I'm just in the back eating and drinking. That's all it is.
Well done. Do you get your SAG card for that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I should. Yeah, you're right. I should invoice those guys.
All right, so here's the diliosis on this. The MLB trade deadline is in 11 days, August 3rd. To be precise, it's August 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern, Kelly. So for those who love taking in like the MLB Network, that's the one day of the year where I'm locked into the MLB Network. They do a great job on trade deadline day. The biggest let's start with the individual players. Obviously, the biggest prize potentially and I stress the word potentially in all of these, is Tarek Skubal, the back-to-back Cy Young winner in the American League. But here's the deal. The Tigers are still locked in to a situation where they think not only can they win a wild card position, they still think they can win their division. And by the way, they might not be wrong about that. They have the second best run differential behind the White Sox in the AL Central. They are 6.5 out of the division. They are 4.5 out, I believe it is, of a wild card position. And you're 4.5 out and 6.5 out, and there's still 11 days till the trade deadline. So if you chop that down, Kelly, just a little more, let's say 4.5 and 6.5 becomes 2.5 and 4.5, you ain't getting rid of Tarek Skubal at that point, right? Because you have designs on bigger things. So we just don't know. We just don't know with Tarek Skubal. The same can apply to a guy like Mason Miller. Now, the number of teams that covet Mason Miller to be there at the back of their bullpen, the number of teams that are headed to the postseason is probably every single one of them.
Oh, I mean, when's the last time we've had this good of a closer on the market or like we think is available?
This dude may end up playing for a million teams by the end of his career if this keeps going, right? But what's the story with the Padres, right? The Padres aren't winning their division, but the Padres are 3 games out of the final wild card position in the National League. 11 days prior to the trade deadline, 6 p.m. Eastern on August 3rd. So even the Padres, who are going through a whole ownership thing, are they going to sell the team? Is the paperwork going to go through by the time the deadline? And they've got transitional stuff happening at the top. But even there, like, you know, we can still make the playoffs. Why would we do that? So again, Roxy Roxborough used to come on the show and he used to talk about this. He'd be like, oh, you're not going to know what to do, buy or sell, to the last 2 weeks. And he pointed out then, and he was right, and never more true than this year, Kelly, where it's like, forget 2 weeks. You won't know till the last series.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, AJ Hinch, right, saying last week or whatever, it's like every game's a game 7 for them going forward with the Tigers because of Skubal, because you got to win if you want to keep them.
Mets, different story, though. Freddy Peralta, he's available. Clay Holmes, he's available. Luke Weaver, he's available. Obviously, Peralta, the starter that they expected so much more from, Holmes and Weaver out of the bullpen. Some other guys, Luis Arraez of the Giants. I mean, professional hitter. The Giants aren't going anywhere. The Giants should be cleaning house. But Arraez is the guy that fits seamlessly into any offense as a contact guy. I don't know. Byron Buxton has been thrown around by the Twins. But, I mean, the Twins are in the thick of it still. Also, so I'm not sure they're doing anything there, but buyers. And by the way, shout out to our own Danny Higgins again for putting this together. He got really into this yesterday, huh?
I told him to. I told you he was into it. I was like, yeah, give us the Danny top trade deadline candidates for both players and then kind of teams that we're gonna going after, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Dodgers looking for a frontline starter, bullpen depth. Yankees, it's so funny because, another reliever. What the Yankees really need is a catcher, for God's sakes. I know it's strange to like add a catcher in the middle of the season, but that's what they need. They get no production out of that position. And the Red Sox now are total buyers, right? It would seem. The Red Sox, forget about being outside of the playoffs looking in. They are inside looking out. They would be the third wild card right now after this 15-game winning streak. Phillies looking for the bullpen help. Who isn't? Cubs, they need some starting pitching in addition to bullpen help. Who are the absolute sellers? The Mets, as we just discussed, the Giants, as we just discussed. But again, if you look at the Major League Baseball standings, Kelly, and you just go just based on that alone, right? Let's talk about the number of teams that are, close to the third wild card position, the final playoff spot in each league. Pardon me. Seattle is 2 out of a wild card position, right? Texas right now, a half game lead over Seattle in the West. So Seattle for this moment in time, 2 games out of the third wild card position. Baltimore, 3 games out. Minnesota, 3 games out. The Astros, 3.5 games out. And as we just discussed, the Tigers, 4.5 out. Who does that leave? That only leaves 4 teams in the entire American League. Toronto, sorry, Toronto, didn't mean to pair you with these other 3 teams. The Athletics, Kansas City, and the Angels. Athletics, Kansas City, and the Angels, they're toast. Who knows? Even Toronto might think that they have a shot here, Kelly. But just we just don't know. We just don't know what these teams are going to do. By the way, same sort of situation in the National League. Cardinals, a half game out of the third wild card. Pittsburgh, a half game out of the third wild card, which, by the way, is inhabited by the Arizona Diamondbacks as of this morning. Miami, 1.5 out. Washington, 1.5 out. We just mentioned San Diego, 3 out. Maybe even the Reds at 5.5 out think that they have a shot. So that leaves only the Mets, San Francisco, and Colorado. So you have 15 team leagues, and 80% of those teams are still thinking this is our year.
Mm-hmm. What's your gut feel on Scooble? Like, you think he's gone? You think he's staying?
No, I think he's staying.
I think he's staying. Okay. Well, I mean, that doesn't, just doesn't get to a point where there's, God, I mean, he's so good, right? Like, the overwhelming offers from one of these super rich teams that needs the help, right? I just, I don't know how Detroit turns that down, but I get it. Like, they're still in this. 4.5 out.
Yeah. Well, you asked me this again this morning, my answer is, oh, no, he's not going anywhere. And the reason I'm saying he's not going anywhere is because, by the way, when we're locked into these monthly bets, we get to see how these teams do on a monthly basis. So as bad as the Tigers were early in the season, you look at their June record, they were great. Their July record, they're great. Like, they have had two solid months now, almost total, of really good baseball. Now, a week from now, if I was in this chair and you and I were on air, and let's say the Tigers had lost 5 in a row, I'd be like, oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
That's how quickly this can change.
Right.
No, for totally. Him, for totally. Mason Miller, for all these guys.
Very little volume in this market, so I will preface it with that. But Tarek Skubal's next team is up at Kalshi. The Dodgers are your favorite at +252.
Well, of course they are. You know, that's the thing. It's like, of course they are. There's no limit to what they're willing to pay in a luxury tax. There's no limit to what they will do to win the World Series. You know, Yankees fans used to be, right, along with the Dodgers, even before the Dodgers, they were the franchise where, you know, George Steinbrenner, the boss, would have done anything at any time to do that to improve the team, right? Usually in the offseason, maybe not necessarily midseason, but he was the guy that would do anything. And as Yankees fans like Chris Felica and Will Hill will tell you, it ain't the same under the kid. Hal Steinbrenner ain't George Steinbrenner. So, like, the Yankees are willing to do some stuff, but to a limit. It doesn't. They don't. They're not in that Dodgers category of who's available. We'll get them.
Right.
We'll take them now.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I don't know. That's why all these baseball questions is like, it's cool to look at this. Does this lead to any? You know, the point for us as bettors, does this lead to bets? And so right now, on the one hand, maybe the uncertainty takes you off making a bet. On the other hand, it's that very uncertainty that allows you to make bets, like we did with the Red Sox in July, right? Mm-hmm. You need that uncertainty. If everything was certain, you know, you wouldn't have good numbers. So the American League, I think, is where you take shots. And as I said with the Red Sox yesterday, I think you take shots at, like, pennants, right? Will had a great idea yesterday. How about some exactas or matchups in the ALCS? I think you take flyers on long shots there. Coming back with Zach Cohen on.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, keep in mind the sharp plays always available to you. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. You can scan the QR code on your screen for more. Sharpplays.com. Check it out. We get tweets beating the book. This is from, oh man, there's too many to get into right now. But Stringfellow Hawk, while we're grading promos, okay, I'm not going to read that. He's good. Now they're going after all kinds of promos.
I was going to say, I didn't even read the tweet, but I think we should shut this down right now. We never started grading promos. Okay. We never That's started right. that.
here's one for you, Kelly, though. We could tell because it has to do with us. Bets, JB. Kelly, it's redundant to say revert back. Just say revert.
Okay.
Yeah, we got English teachers here.
Gil, I took a shot at Al. Dude, I'm looking at a Jake Knapp shot right now. I don't even know what to say. This is a tee shot on a par 3 that looks like it is stuck between. It looks like it should be. If the pin wasn't there, it would be a hole in one because it is stuck between the pin and the edge of the hole, and I guess enough out that that's not going to count.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, come back to me on that one. That is bizarre. That is a bizarre look right there.
Wow.
By the way, JB adds, Gil, I took a shot at Alcaraz for the U.S. Open. If he's healthy, that's good plus money versus Sinner wilting in humidity. You might be right. This gentleman, we have not had him on the show. At least I haven't been here when he's been on the show, but I think maybe it's been a while period that he's been on our show. And here we go, just strutting old Nick Whalen on every week, for God's sakes. So we are completely apologetic. It's the co-host of Prop Points, which follows us each and every Monday through Friday here on the network. It's our old buddy Jeff Erickson joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jeff, good morning. Great seeing you.
Good morning. Happy to fly the Prop Points and RotoWire flag, whether it's me or it's Nick. So all good. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
We're doing very well. Yeah, by the way, I bury the headline. Co-host, by the way, of RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today on Sirius XM 87 and a co-founder of RotoWire. My goodness. Do you ever flaunt that, Jeff, or do you
all the time.
Do that to yourself?
All the time. It's great.
Do you really?
Hey, I'm super proud of it. You know, it's my life's work, literally. So, yeah, absolutely.
You absolutely should be. Let's start with baseball, which is your bread and butter. We'll get to some NFL coming up. But baseball, we have often talked about award markets, as I'm sure you and Nick have. But I'm curious because it looked like with the National League Cy Young that Jacob Mizorowski was sort of running, I don't know, running away with it might be a little overstatement, but certainly he had the goods, right? He's number one in MLB in so many categories. There is a few little injury concerns now happening, so it's a little shakier than it might have felt like a couple weeks back. What are your thoughts on him? What are your thoughts on the market in general?
Yeah, I've been fascinated with this race all season long because it started off as Skeens as the, you know, the clear number one, and that clearly has evolved. You go a 2-month stretch without winning a game, that's going to happen. But Mizorowski deserves to be the favorite without a doubt, but you know, and here comes the but, it's the way they treated him right before the break, way they shut him down after four innings in a start this week, the way they vacillated between whether he's going to start or not this weekend. Some strong 2024 Garrett Crochet vibes coming through here. You know, this is a guy that topped out 144 innings. How many innings do they really want him to throw this year? It's different from Crochet's case, obviously, for two different reasons. One, Crochet was a reliever, converting to starter that year. Two, the White Sox weren't just bad, they are historically bad. The Brewers are one of the two best teams in baseball, tied with the Dodgers, I think, with the best record in baseball. They think they keep on flipping spots. But point is, it's, you know, this is a really legitimate team. They need him down the stretch. But how important is it to get the first seed? Is it good enough to be the second seed in the National League? We saw last year having the best record in baseball didn't do much for them for the playoffs. They need him for the playoffs and they need him long term. So is 175 innings it? If so, like, you know, that's there's not a whole lot left there to pitch. If it's 150, it's even less, 160, you know. So I think there's a way that he drops out of the race. And I think the minus money is kind of interesting. I think it opens the door for guys like Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, and Yoshi Yamamoto, who I think is really underpriced. At 28-1 at a couple of places, DraftKings and MGM still on at 28-1. I don't understand the case against Yamamoto. He's like the seventh most innings in baseball right now. Of the Cy Young contenders, only Sanchez has thrown more innings. He's done everything that's been asked of him, and he's gotten dramatically up in price. I love the price here.
Yeah, I'm calling up the Tango Cy Young tracker as we speak. It takes a second to load, but as I remember the drop off from Miz to the next person was Sanchez, and it was pretty significant. But Yamamoto, I don't know if he was in that next group, but yes, this absolutely opens it up. I'll give you exactly what it is now. So in Tango points, and again, Tom Tango has accurately predicted 32 out of the last 38. 64.8 points for Miz. Again, the formula is very simple. Innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. You don't have to worry about that. But 64.8 on Miz, 53.4 on Sanchez, then it's Sale, 50.8, then it's Burns, 49.2, then it's Wheeler, 47.7, then it's Foster Griffin, for God's sakes, before you get to Yamamoto. So I don't know. Yeah, and I'm wondering, he's got the wins. He's got the innings pitched. Is it the Ks? No, he's got... Yeah, it's the Ks. That's what it is.
It's the Ks and the fact that he's thrown 18 starts versus 21 for the other guys. I think that perception is just taking the ball fewer times because the Dodgers have gone six-man. But factor in that Otani's not going to pitch for a while. Maybe the Dodgers eventually go away from the six-man rotation for a little bit. You know, Yamamoto, his entire career has had those 5 days of rest. So it's probably not going to change too much. You know, the first time he threw on, I think on 4 days of rest was in the playoffs last year. So it is something that kind of works. I just, on merit, I have a hard time writing him off. I, I, I get the K's are a big part of that there. And, you know, maybe the electorate is different than it was 10 years ago. But, you know, all the traditional stats that most voters rely on, he's there. And yeah. So that's the reason why I'm kind of in, I think it's very interesting.
And there's so much more baseball to be played. Like, this that's is right. not even close to being settled. Let's go to the NFL. You and Nick sort of take a back seat during football season, and we let John Hansen do the show right after ours. But that doesn't mean you're not betting football the whole time. You have lots of opinion on football. We have you on the show all the time. You're all over the network talking about football. Let's start with a season win total that you like.
Yeah, let's go with the Denver Broncos. I get the argument against them that, hey, they won a lot of close and probable games. Cue up that Giants game last year as a case in point there. But I think they made the most targeted ad of the offseason. They made one move, and it was to trade for a wide receiver in Jalen Waddle, the type of receiver they didn't have in the past. I thought it was exactly what they needed. It was far better than what they could have gotten in the draft. I think there's too much gravity being projected for the Broncos. You know, keep in mind that, yes, they were a team that did get won those close ones. I think, though, it's also a young team in terms of the key personnel, in terms of Bo Nix. I could see a step of improvement coming for Nix. Everything cancels, of course, if he can't move, if that ankle is still an enduring problem. That's one of the stories I'll be paying attention to in camp. But I think they're underpriced right now at 9.5 wins.
All right, let's do some season-long props. Everyone's excited about Joe Burrow, a healthy Joe Burrow for the Cincinnati Bengals, hopefully this year, at least at the start, healthy. And so most people consider playing props over on him, maybe the big receivers of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. You're actually playing the Bengals offense a different way.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at Chase Brown, who was fantastic in the second half of the season when they had Burrow back. And when they changed the run scheme a little bit there, first, Dalton Risner was their right, settled in at right guard. They ran more under center, which I think helps a lot. They ran more 12 personnel. They get a blocking tight end in Eric Allback, who is fantastic at moving people. He's going to see more snaps this year. I think people forget how good he was in his rookie year. Now, I understand, you know, he's had two major ACL injuries. So him staying on the field is a dubious proposition that he can make it through the whole season. But point is, people forget how bad the first half of the season was for Brown and the Bengals' rushing offense. He still ended up with over 1,000 rushing yards. The prop is 824.5. I love this. And I know there's things that go wrong. We always talk about overs when it comes to running backs and the props, and we should talk more unders. But I'm going to give you a couple overs anyhow.
Well, in Jacksonville, this is pretty fascinating because no more Travis. We were just debating this. Is it Etienne? Is it Etienne? Is it Achan? We'll go with Achan. That's what he says it is now. No more Travis Achan. So Bashel Tootin becomes the guy. Liam Cohen's already hyping him up, saying, oh, he's going to have a big season. But you went under on a prop of his.
Yeah, and this is the rushing yards again, 699.5. And it's because they brought in Chris Rodriguez, who is going to get a lot of those tough yards between the tackles and maybe even at the goal line. And LaQuint Allen also exists, and they like him too on third downs. I think fantasy managers hoping that Bashel Tootin is going to be the guy they're going to be severely disappointed. There's not going to be the guy, barring injuries to a couple of these players. They're going to split this workload, and it's going to be annoying for fantasy managers. It's going to be annoying to bettors. They're like, why doesn't Tootin have 15 carries? He's so good. I don't know if he can handle that big sort of workload anyhow with his size. And the fact is, they've got a guy in Rodriguez that can.
And real quick, O'Marrion Hampton back from injury in the Chargers. How are you playing him?
Absolutely. The fantasy market loves him. You see, there's a disconnect between the fantasy market and the betting market.
Yeah.
Fantasy market loves him. You got an improved offensive scheme with Mike McDaniel. You get your two healthy tackles back. They improve the interior offensive line. It's going to be a better running game for the Chargers. Hampton's a dude.
Jeff, great seeing you, man. Good. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Always a pleasure, guys.
Jeff Erickson, going to be at the top of next hour, of course, hosting Prop Points with our buddy Nick Whalen right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll recap the bets, crack as well. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circle Resort Casino in Kelly Bidlin's case. I am in San Francisco, Gil Alexander, for today and tomorrow. And the next time you'll see me after that, I'll be back in Vegas, back in the studio, Kelly.
Only like only a fortnight and a half away.
That's right. Only a fortnight away. It's been it's been a glorious summer.
Let me just tell you. I bet it has back there. I'm getting tired these two of these days this week with this gorgeous view in the background. I got to look at you and talk to you. And there's just I just see ocean and what's the island again? What's the land that nobody can go on?
Well, that's Angel Island. Angel Island is uninhabited, but what you're seeing, what you can't see quite as clearly behind Angel Island is Tiburon. And then if you out of view behind me is Sausalito. It's maybe the most gorgeous place in the country.
Yeah, it's beautiful, it really man. Gorgeous. It really is beautiful. The
With apologies to Colorado and Utah, which are also gorgeous.
But for different reasons. Different reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue our off-air conversation. So we ran into Crack and the crew yesterday after the show. We'll talk to him more about that. And then, you know, someone who doesn't tweet into the show very often, but you know one of my favorite people to run into after the show. Kelly, the Sausage King of Omaha, was back signing up for contests. Yep, so got to introduce Danny Higgins to him. We got a great story time from him about an old master story. Love running into that guy. We were talking to him for, what, 20 minutes? Yeah, it was great.
He's a big Creighton fan, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of Creighton. Crack at the top of the hour. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, in studio. We get tweets of Beating the Book. Eagle Marine. Gil, I would get on board the Saints bandwagon. Shuck has much better weapons for the 26-27 season. In that dome, they're going to be tough to beat. Their international game will be in France, where they have exclusive marketing rights. New Orleans, French Connection. NFC South is weak. Hey, Eagle Marine, if that is your real name. I'm not that bearish on them. It's really the FDN Almanac guys. Aaron Schatz was on our show earlier this week. They are not happy with the Saints. They do not have a good outlook. So your beef is mainly with them, not with anything I have to offer on that team. Kenny G, morning Gil and Bill. Bill's not here yet, but he says, I'll be coming to town next week, have reservations at Barry's and the Italian American Club. My question is about tipping. Besides the server, is there anyone else to take care of? Thanks, Gil. Enjoy your vacation. Oh, no. I feel a tipping conversation coming. Remember, Kelly, y'all, they want the captain tip now. I got to tip a captain? Who's the captain? I got to tip the captain?
Dude.
It's from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah.
Really? Which one?
Oh, there's one where Larry David's like, I got to tip a captain now? What does a captain do?
Like off of a plane or a boat?
A captain in the restaurant. There's your waiter. Right, the server.
Oh, right, yeah. Why I'm blanking on that episode? I can't believe that.
All right, we got a couple questions here for Crack. Ready for the top of the hour? Tennis, 2-3 today. They can't all be winning days, boys and girls. But if you're going to have a losing day, make it a 2-3 where you lose 0.87 units. That's what happened today. One on Hanfman, one on Echeverry. Hanfman was a slight favorite. Echeverry was a slight dog. But lost all three of the bigger dogs today. The bigger dogs didn't work out. Panna Udvardi lost in straight sets to our nemesis, Paula Badosa, who at this point is just, you know, tormenting me. Alex Molcan did not really show anything against Alexander Bublik. Bublik decided he liked clay today. And my Huntama, who we won on as a big dog, was it yesterday or the day before, as a north of $2 dog, she could not get it done against Lily Tagger. So 2-3 minus 0.87 units. That was the day in tennis. Again, more from clay, straight clay, and hard courts for subscribers. VSiN.com/picks on the website, posted every morning by the great Bill 80, Kelly. That's his main job. I think he does other things, but I think his main job is posting the tennis picks. I think I have that correct.
He came by here on Monday to deliver you a personal apology. Here.
Oh, that's okay.
And neither was I, actually.
We're talking about documentaries, for God's sake. Okay, Red Sox, most wins, month of July, 80-1. We talked about this at the beginning of the show, but not since. Here's where we stand on this, once again. Red Sox have 8 games left in the month of July. They have a 3-win lead at 15-2 after their 15-game winning streak was broken in the second of the doubleheader yesterday. They're 15-2. They have a 3-win lead over the 12-7 Brewers and a 4-win lead over the Orioles and Tigers. By the way, the Brewers only have 7 games left as opposed to the Red Sox 8. The Orioles have 7 left. The Tigers have 8 left. If the Red Sox go 5-3, There is no need to look at the scoreboard. The Red Sox will cash our 80-1 for most wins in July. But that assumes that teams like the Brewers and Tigers go undefeated the rest of the way. That's why at a minimum, you have to go at a maximum, you have to go 5-3. But more likely, those teams aren't going to go undefeated, and you probably will get away with 4-4 and maybe even 3-5. I'm not rooting for any of those things. I hope the Red Sox continue to cruise and this one gets home, but it's not in yet. Three games this weekend, idle today. Three games at Fenway starting tomorrow against the Blue Jays. Then it's four at Sacramento. Then it is one final game against the Dodgers to round out the month. Looking to cash that 80-1. Let's go. Let's get it done.
Do it, man. That'd be awesome. Yeah. That would be awesome. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Berkster, the great Adam Burke, who not only did I reference some of his notes from the NFL guide earlier, but oh boy, check your text messages in the break, Gil, because we got one heck of a story for crack coming up next hour.
Oh.
Okay, wow. Bets for me. These were all made over the past couple days. Talked about all these yesterday on the show, actually. Bears over 415.5 points scored for the regular season. I have three NBA win totals. Jazz over 35.5. Rockets over 47.5. Pistons under 50.5. And I've got a few more circled. I'm going to wait for more shops to open up to kind of price shop here.
Okay. Did you like Zach's, by the way, all of his season wins?
The best? Zach has been, there's a little bit of a divide in thinking the Hardwood Handicappers group right now over the Boston Celtics. So I'm not going to disagree with them. The Celtics have proven to be a great franchise that knows what they're doing. I don't think I'm going to be in on the over or the under. He's in on the over. So Celtics over 50.5 for him. Jazz over 34.5 for Zach. Obviously, I love that. The Cavs one, I get Gil. I just think with a lot of the Eastern Conference teams, you just got to be careful betting overs on because the entire conference is going to be so much better. It just makes that a little bit tougher. I do like the Pacers over 43.5, though. I do think this is a team that ends up in the finals, in that top six, probably. And Ime Udoka, look, I bet the Rockets over. I think it's a solid coach of the year bet. My only concern with that, right, is what are we comparing last season to? How they did in the playoffs or the regular season, right? The regular season, yeah. It was still a good record.
What do the Rockets have to be for him to win Coach of the Year, right? You have an OKC and you have San Antone. It's a regular season award, right?
I think it's combination, right? I think it's what do the Rockets have to be and what else needs to happen? Right. And I say that because I think it's probably like we're talking about the Rockets as a two seed and that you got ahead of the Spurs of the Thunder somehow.
Yeah, I just don't know what's this. Yeah. I mean, if you do that, right, if you can crack the top two, sure. But short of that, I mean, does a 55 win season get you coach of the year?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Jeff Erickson. Just on with us. Jeff is great, man. He has one season win total in football. He's on the Denver Broncos over 9.5 wins. Gave the reasons for that thinking earlier on the show. Of course, he'll be on with Nick Whalen 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific today and every Monday through Friday here at VSiN. And then he had three season-long prop bets. You kind of chimed in on this. So the way that he is playing the Bengals wave of excitement with Joe Burrow back, Chase Brown over 824.5 rushing yards on the season.
I think I might be joining him on that one, Gil. Yeah, it's it's just he's kind of the guy there, the only guy. You know that passing attack is going to take so much of the attention away from the defenses. Jeff did a great job of breaking this down. Even when he got off to a slow start last year, sailed over this number. So I think I will be joining him on that one. And then I'll let you get to the rest, but I think Omari Hampton's probably a good bet too.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's go to that one. Let's skip to that one. Omari Hampton, who's coming back from the major knee surgery, over 949.5 rushing yards with the Jim Harbaugh offense. Jim Harbaugh loves establishing the run, even with Justin Herbert. So there you go. That's a bullish play on Hampton. And then this one sort of surprised me, but I understand the reasoning.
Yeah.
He's on the under. On Bashiel Tutin, under 699.5 rushing yards, you would think with Travis Etienne,
that Tootin, he might be more bullish on Tootin, but he said Chris Rodriguez Jr., I should point out, Washington football team great,
yeah,
Chris Rodriguez Jr., he thinks will sort of, I won't use the word vulture because that relates to touchdowns, but will skim off some of the yards. Let's put it that
carries.
Way.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. You know what's next. Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. On the other side, taking all your questions as well, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.